Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. Glad you guys are here. Man, it's cold in here, huh? I'm about to put my sweater on a little bit. But, man, it's a beautiful Sunday. Glad you guys are here. Man, it's chilly right here where I'm standing. I'm going to move up a little bit just to make it warmer. All right. Well, my name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. Hope you felt welcome. Grab a blanket if you need one. They're in the back. You can do the buddy system. You can cuddle. I'm not going to judge. It is a little chilly in here. But today's message is titled "Love Without Boundaries." Love without boundaries. Now, as you get into the scripture, you're going to see why we picked that and why we even sang the songs that we sang today about how God bestows upon us the greatest gift, right? And some of you guys, how many of you guys consider yourselves good gift givers? One, two people? The rest of you, three people? The rest of you guys are like into gift cards? I hate gift cards. So I'm just saying, you know what, it's fair. I've transitioned over to gift cards because for a long time, I used to like to find the perfect gift. Like I was like, I got to go find this and that. And so I still have to do that for Steph, by the way. Don't get your spouse a gift card, by the way. It's not. You got to put some thought into it. But God gives us the greatest gift. And you know, we're coming off of 2 weeks from celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And last week, we talked a little bit about going on a road trip with Jesus. You guys remember that? On the road to Emmaus. And by the way, I still want to hear some of you guys. I know you guys have some amazing road trip stories. So that should be one of the next icebreakers when we do like men's group or women's. Tell us your most epic road trip, right? None like the one that Cleopas and the other disciple had on the road to Emmaus, but still. But what we're going to learn about today is how after Jesus resurrected and was seen, right, and he was showing, there's over 500 eyewitnesses to his resurrection, how he promised to give something. Right, and so we're going to spend some time in the scripture learning about the perfect gift and what God has done for us and what that love means. Right, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, how much God loves us. Everybody in here has John 3:16 memorized, right? Yeah. True story, and I always kind of tell this, before I got saved and before I was in the church, I thought that was only like Stone Cold Steve Austin's, like, I don't know what it was about. John 3:16, you guys remember that? I was like, what's that about? Like, I actually had to go look it up. So that's pretty bad, right? It's a true story. But go back to the message. Sorry. Sometimes I get like, I'm in the car and it's like, squirrel. And I had to bring myself back, you know? So, but today we're going to learn how the Holy Spirit is God's proof to us and that he loves us and that he loves us without boundaries, right? Because if we think, right, God really gives us his best, doesn't he? God gives us his best. He gives us his Son. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us his Word. He gives us life. He didn't have to do any of that. That's our God, and he's awesome. Now, if we think about ourselves, we're naturally what? Naturally selfish. Somebody said it. We're naturally selfish, right? How do you know this? How do you know that we're naturally selfish? Some people whine, I heard. Oh, I thought we whine. I was like, okay, is the whiner over here? Okay. How else do we know that we're naturally selfish? That's right. I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? I think I always say, whatever your favorite food is, mine is, I like pizza. And I always do the pizza challenge, right? If there's one slice of pizza and all the people that I love the most in the world, like I'll offer it, like to be nice. But secretly, I'm saying, please say no. Please say no because I want that pizza. Does anybody relate? Right? Yeah. Well, we'll say the nice thing. And then sometimes when they say yes, we're like, oh yeah, sure. And then inside you're disappointed. You're like, I wanted that pizza. But it's the nice thing to do, right? You give it to your wife or you give it to your kids. But secretly, you're like, I want that pizza. Because we love us, or I say we love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. And I want to show a little quick video that kind of illustrates how we're hardwired, because I was going to say this, if you have kids and they're babies, you know that we're inherently what? Selfish, because giving isn't natural to us, right? So go ahead and play that.
This little girl has the funniest reaction to this trend. It's absolutely priceless.
Yeah, I got a cookie! What did Georgia get? You got two cookies! Ready? Hey,
mom's.
Oh. I didn't get anything.
Oh, that works. I you do a doing test. I'll give you a banana.
A banana.
I didn't get a cookie.
Wait, that's good.
Daddy,
you
cookie. Daddy,
mom,
you
want to
have a hug?
Oh, a hug is so nice. I want you guys to enjoy your cookies.
And you want, but you wanted a one.
I did want one. I wanted a cookie.
Daddy, you forgot to give her a cookie.
I only had three cookies.
It looks like we only have three cookies. One for Daddy, and then Georgia got two, and then Mommy didn't get any.
You want a banana?
There's only three cookies. So Daddy has one, you have two, and Mommy has none. How do you think we could solve this?
It's okay, Mommy just really wanted a cookie and we don't have any more left.
Oh my goodness! A pretend cake!
Did that make you happy?
It did! Thank you! What a relief. We figured out the problem.
It's kind of, it's cute, right? But that's how we're hardwired. I thought when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's the... She's even like, I should give him. She's like, Dad? And then she's like, you want a banana? That's how we're hardwired as human beings. I know it's funny, but she wanted it for herself. She wasn't giving her best, because if she would have given her best, she would have probably given Mom both cookies, right? She didn't even want to give half a cookie. But God isn't that way. I just kind of made that kind of tongue, like a little funny introduction, but God is not that way, because God gives us His best. And we're going to learn how the Holy Spirit, right, is proof for God's love for us, and how He loves us, and how God's Holy Spirit isn't contained by boundaries or borders, right? That there's nowhere that we can go where God can't reach us, where His Spirit can't reach us. Amen? And it's not confined to a church or a special place or a holy place, that when we give our life to Jesus, He meets us there. And then the Holy Spirit comes. Amen? So we're going to be reading out of John chapter 14. That's where we're going to be starting off today's message. So if you have your Bibles, John 14. Otherwise, you can just follow along on the screen. Amen? So John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15 says, it says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you, and will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. See, the world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will show them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, come to them, and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Amen. All right, so what's the context of this passage? You guys remember? What just happened in John 13? It was a washing of the feet, right? And so he's reminding the disciples, he's comforting them, telling them that he's telling them he's going to go to the cross, but they're not kind of getting it, right? I always say, I'm encouraged because sometimes we don't get it, right? God could be talking right to you, and you still don't get it. Be encouraged. The disciples didn't get it a lot of times either, right? Straight from Jesus' mouth, they weren't getting it. So that's the context of this passage. But he's giving them and he's promising them something that is so awesome, which is what? The Holy Spirit, right? And eternal life. That's right. That's always the right answer. When you're in church, Jesus is a good answer. Faith is a good answer. The Holy Spirit is a good answer, okay? Amen? But no, the first point from this passage that we just read is that Jesus promised a love that would stay. Jesus promised a love that would stay. And where do you see that? Because he says, I'll give you something, right? The AC is kicked on it. Turn this over. And verse 16 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever. Right? Forever. That's the same way that the little kid from the Sandlot. Forever, right? Forever. Isn't that awesome? Don't we want to be loved forever? Don't we want to be like, man, I just belong. I'm picked. How about you guys? I wasn't the most athletic kid when I was growing up. And for kickball, wasn't it terrible when you're like the second to the last guy and you're like, this guy can't even run, pick me. Like, I'm at least fast, you know? And you're not picked. You're like, oh, you're like, okay, I guess I'll take that guy. Right? That's happened to me sometimes. I was shorter, but I was fast. But, you know, I wasn't buddies with the team captain, so I wasn't always picked. Anybody? Sometimes, yeah. Listen, forget about kickball and handball. Jesus picks you. He says yes to you every single day. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. Isn't that awesome? So like, man, Jesus loves me like that. By the way, you guys should know this. I'm Jesus' favorite. I'm just saying. No, you can steal that. You're Jesus' favorite too, amen? You ask him, that's right. But Jesus promised a love that would stay. You know what? Don't we all need to hear that sometimes? Don't we in life suffer some massive relational disappointments? Don't we sometimes go along and have our hearts broken? Or we get betrayed or we get hurt by the people that we were depending on. That we said, this person will never. And then they break our hearts and they let us down. But Jesus promised a love that would stay, right, through the thick and thin. Not just when it's convenient, not just when they have time, but forever. That's awesome. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes we know you probably have people in your circle, in your family, that oftentimes are looking, and we say this, looking for love in the wrong places. That makes sense? Looking for validation because I feel a certain way. But listen, God already says, you're enough. You're enough as you are. And we find ourselves, right? We're desperate until we find him. Because we were made for worship. We were made for a relationship with God. Well, we're not, right? We're seeking. And we try to fill it with other things. But Jesus promised us a love that would stay. And he promised that we would never be alone. Because he would send the Holy Spirit, right? And it wasn't a temporary gift. It wasn't like a gift that you use when it's in season. It's an eternal gift that we have access to it. I don't know about you guys, but man, sometimes when you're going through like some real storms, don't you feel comfort in knowing that God is there? You can call upon Him. You can pray right where you are, and the Holy Spirit is there. You can open up your Bible, and you can feel like, man, I needed that. Or a brother will come alongside, or a sister will come alongside who is being obedient to the Holy Spirit and just kind of lifts you up. Right? This is why you need the body of believers. Because the Holy Spirit, we're learning about today, it doesn't have borders. It doesn't have boundaries. He's residing within the body of believers. And we need each other, right? We can't do this journey alone. Oftentimes when we go through, we're going through, and I say, listen, we all have our go through. I don't care if you're a pastor or if you're a new believer, or however you've been walking with the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, you're going to have your go through. You know why? Because Jesus promised that you would. This isn't heaven. This isn't heaven. This isn't our forever place. In this life, we're going to have troubles. Right? But Jesus tells us that He's overcome the world. And so here's the thing, right? Sometimes when you're in the middle of a storm, it can feel like you're all alone. Sometimes we're in the middle of a fight, it feels like you're all alone. That's a lie from the enemy. You're not alone. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Right? We had a little storm come through here yesterday. That's kind of, you guys expecting that here? It's like, what the heck? Where'd that come from? But you know what? God is this way, right? The storm of life comes. But the sun is always shining. Right? If you ever hop on a plane and you go through the storm, if you go high enough, the sun is shining above the clouds. And that's how God is. That we have to remember that it's not just the storm of life is going to come. But God is with us there. We have to wait for the storm to pass. We have to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters. But the storm is going to pass, brothers and sisters. Amen? God is faithful. He's with us. The sun, right? In which case, Jesus is still shining. We have to wait for the storm to pass on through. God's love has no boundaries, no ends. Amen? Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Just going to be a few pages over. Acts chapter 1, because what we just read in John 14 was that Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit. And then after, we're going to pick up right now where actually the Holy Spirit descends. Acts chapter 1 says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. So in John 14, we see that Jesus is promising. Now he's resurrected and He's telling them, right? Stick around. You haven't received the gift yet. You haven't received power. Isn't it remarkable? You would think that if you had spent 3 years with Jesus and you were casting out demons and you were doing all kinds of awesome things, healing people, you would think that you would feel like you had power at that time, right? I think I would, wouldn't, or just me. You guys know? I would just be like, man, I'm with Jesus. We're like this. We walk around together. Isn't that awesome? You would think that you would have, I mean, just, how many of you guys having, like, you would walk to somebody and you could just heal somebody, do like a miracle? Wouldn't that be amazing? Right? God is still doing those miracles. But even then, He's telling them, stay, because you haven't really received the gift that will give you what? power, right? Not the kind of power that is here in the world, right? Not the kind of power that we think is like position or status or money or fame. Not that. That's garbage. Real power. Amen? You see, when we're walking around, how many of you guys have like, you know, here at my work, there's a lot of people that are going electric. Have you guys noticed the electric vehicles all over the place? And they're nice. But for example, at my this is a true story. At my place of work, there's only four chargers, and one of those four chargers is always broken. And there's about 10 people who drive electric vehicles at my job. So sometimes it's like their fancy car. It's like, it's great, but it is not so great if you have no power, right? It looks nice. It's shiny, and it's all fancy, and it doesn't make any noise when you get in. You're like, is it on? Is it not on? Right? I've ridden in some. They're pretty cool. I'm like old school. I like the gasoline. I just want to put my foot down. Although those electric motors are pretty fancy. Gotcha. But when there's no power, what is it? It's dead weight, huh? I'm just being honest. That's you and me. When you're not connected with the Holy Spirit, when you're not reading your word, when you're trying to do it on your own, you look all nice and fancy, like a Tesla, right? But on the inside, you got no power. Can't go anywhere. Useless, if we're honest, right? We need to be connected and filled with the Holy Spirit and His Word, be in fellowship, because that's where we find the power, right? And it's not in our own strength. We find God's strength. And I always say, listen, what we do is not even for our own glory. It's for God's glory. We're just here, honestly, to be vessels, to do whatever God has intended for us to do. But if we're not connected to Him, man, it's useless, to be quite honest with you. And so we need to be connected to Him. The other thing that we take away from this passage, right, is that we can walk in His confidence, right? That God delivers on what He says. How many of you guys have, somebody has told you that they were going to get you something or a gift or made a promise to you and then didn't deliver on it? And everybody in here should probably raise their hand, right? God does what He said He's going to do. Amen? Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He even went to the cross. It cost Him everything to deliver on that gift. Salvation and the gift after the Advocate. So we know that God's love isn't like it's not a fair weather type of love. That God's love is constant and it's available in our best and worst moments. And here's the reality of it. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. You know, sometimes you get a gift and you're like, finally, I deserve it. Like, right? Mother's Day's coming up. Guys, don't forget Mother's Day, okay? Do something. I made the mistake one time. My wife's not here, so I can say this. One time I was like, babe, I'm so busy. I forgot to get you a Mother's Day gift. Oh, man. She was mad. She's like, you know. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to get in trouble if I keep going down. Some of you guys have to pull me back when I get myself in trouble. We don't deserve it, but God gives his love and His Holy Spirit to us freely, right? And so the other thing is that we have to remember is that God keeps promises to us. He loves us. And when we reflect on that, I always say, are we living in the confidence of knowing that? Or are we still kind of looking in the mirror and kind of looking at all, seeing all of our flaws, our imperfections? Seeing the areas where we're falling short and not seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. Listen, Jesus paid it all for us, and that should be enough. Then if God paid it all for you, when you look in the mirror, you should say, man, you know what? God loves me. He gave His Son for me. That's enough. Oftentimes we're trying to weigh ourselves because of the the title or the position or the job or the house or the car or the clothes. Forget all that, guys. God loves you as you are. Listen, none of that stuff matters in the big scale of things. The older that I get, right, the more I realize it. My life is like a roller coaster. I think it's at the top. It's all downhill from here, but it's okay. I'm going to enjoy the ride. You know, that's the best part. When you start to go fast, yeah. Just remember that God loves you and He paid it all for the forgiveness of our sins. And we should walk in the confidence of knowing that He has this unbreakable love for us, but that He is who He says that He is, and He does what He says He's going to do. That's why, to me, it's exciting when I always see, like, Jesus say this, and then He actually delivers on it. Isn't that awesome? Let's keep reading. So we were at, let's see, Acts. Let's move down a couple of sections, a couple of paragraphs to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be in verse 1 through 6. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Some sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? Isn't that awesome? This is what we're talking about. The God doesn't know any boundaries. He's not talking about, this is a God that comes in and you know what? So there's an amazing revelation by the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, because there was a lot of people that were there, right? You just hear me read off all kinds of, I had to practice that to make sure it was like, puh, puh. Right? You don't get all the names messed up from all the different people. This is an amazing revelation, because prior to this, who was God's chosen people? The Jewish people, right? And the blessing, right? Abraham promised that there would be a blessing from his line. And yes, they're His chosen people, but here God is saying, listen, I'm pouring out. I'm doing a new thing, right? And it's not just for the Jewish people, but that's interesting. Because for them, if you were at that time, you knew that it was very much all about the religion, about the custom. You guys know, you go through the book and you see how, like, there's a lot of racism in the Bible. Let's call it what it is. I don't even want to. If you have to walk around 50 extra miles to not go through one country, do you think that that's, yeah, let's call it what it is. But Jesus came to do away with all of that, to say, listen, I came to pour myself out on all nations, right? And what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit starts to empower them, and they start to be able to what? To understand each other. Because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is what, speaking in tongues, and the other one is interpretation, right? And it's the same Spirit that fills everybody. And He gives different gifts and talents and abilities, right? Now, that's another study in Corinthians. But He empowers, number three, right? The Holy Spirit empowers all who receive Him. The Holy Spirit empowers all who receive Him. Did I give you guys a second one? I did, huh? Okay. I did it? Okay. I'm just checking. Keeping me honest. The Holy Spirit empowers all who receive Him. And on the day of Pentecost, what's really interesting, and you see it in the scriptures, is that He fell upon the men and the women. Yeah, amen. You guys caught that, huh? Because back then, not only were there, was, if you go through the history, right, not only was it about there was a lot of racism. There's also a lot of sexism. Only the men were allowed to learn and to teach. You remember that? Terrible, right? But what Jesus came to do is that's why Jesus is awesome. Because he always, if you look at it, most oftentimes he was revealing himself to who first? To the women, right? And so he empowers all who receive him. Not just this special chosen group. Not just these priests. Not just the religious leaders. Everybody. No boundaries, right? In verse 17, it says, in the last days, let me continue on. Let me read 14 through 18. I was already getting ahead of myself. 14 through 18 is now Peter is talking, because some of the folks were saying what? These people are talking. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're drunk already, right? What is this madness? But Peter kind of chimes in. Verse 14, he says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. That's what's awesome about that, right? That God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. And isn't that, that's our promise. I'm so glad that Jesus came to, right? It's not just for one special class of people, but for everybody. And this is why we're saying the title of today's message is that God's love doesn't have any boundaries for us, and the power of the Holy Spirit extends beyond race and socioeconomic statuses and whatever. God's Spirit empowers all who receive Him. It's not exclusive, right? Now, it is exclusive. Let me just say this. You have to accept Jesus, right? Not all the roads lead to God. You're going to hear that a lot in the culture. We're all climbing up the same mountain. That's superficially, there's a lot of similarities, but fundamentally, they're different, right? Let's be crystal clear on that. But you know what's awesome? Is that the Holy Spirit is still moving, right? It's not just back then. We will find God and He will move in us when we have what? When we seek Him with all our heart. That's in Jeremiah. The more that we seek God, the more He shows up. Amen? But we have to seek Him. You're not just going to like Forrest Gump your way into an awesome Christian walk. You guys like that movie, Forrest Gump? He's just doing it around like, oh, I'd be a ship boat captain. And oh, like, you know, I just ran and I made the little happy file. That's not life. That's a movie, guys. You're not going to Forrest Gump your way into an awesome Christian walk or a blessed, I'll be quite honest with you. All the things that we seek for, right? Healthy families, healthy relationships, health in general. It's not just going to happen. But for us, it's we have the guide right here. And what I was saying is the more that we seek God out, the more He shows up. Amen? And here is the absolute reality of this thing. That your desire for God is already given and it's put in you by the Holy Spirit. I know it's tongue-in-cheek and it's a joke that there's a gal on that show, what's his name, with... Where she's dancing at the end. She's activating the Holy Spirit. What's her name? You guys know what show I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Family Feud, right? There's a gal at the end. She's like, Holy Spirit, activate, activate, activate. I know it's cheesy. But listen, your pursuit of God is already in you through the Holy Spirit. There's going to be times in your walk and in your journey where you sometimes even feel like, man, I'm in a season of dryness. I don't feel like the same way when I first fell in love with Jesus. Yeah, just be honest. Listen, that's a gift from God. It is. Because how are we going to go? Like, listen, we have to make a conscious decision to seek God out. God will provide, but we have to seek Him out. Amen? He's not just going to say, like, I'm just going to keep pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. No, you have to give, right? It's a relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship where you're the only one who's pouring out? And the other person is like just taking and taking and taking and taking? That's not a good, healthy relationship. Right? And so how can we expect that God is going to say, I'm just going to give and give and give and give, and we just keep taking and taking and taking? No, we have to seek God out too. Right? We have to seek Him out. And the Holy Spirit is already in us, right? Just ready to be activated. Giving us power when we're praying. Giving us power when we're in the Bible. Giving us power when we're in fellowship. We have to say yes. The Holy Spirit is moving and acting sometimes, and we don't, can you send somebody else? Can you ask somebody I'm busy right now. And God is saying, man, will you just say yes when the opportunity presents itself? Because the blessing is for you. Listen, God is sovereign. He can do all things. We're not that important. If God wants to save somebody, He will do it. Amen? But He's inviting you. He's inviting you to be a part of His plan. Man, that's amazing to me. God doesn't pick favorites, right? His Spirit is available to all who seek Him. And then there's power. And so we have to be open at the same time, right? That if we're seeking that type of power, that there's with what? The Peter Parker line says, with great power comes what? Great responsibility, right? You're seeking God. You want God to do something awesome. He said, well, you better... Who are you making a deal with, right? You say, God, I want to be your partner in this thing. Activate the Holy Spirit. Make me effective for you. And you got a great responsibility to get it done. Amen? But wouldn't it be so cool, right, if the coworker that God has been putting in your heart to pray, or your friend to pray over that person, to introduce them, wouldn't it be so cool? Because, listen, most of us in here are in our 40s, a little bit younger. We got maybe 40 years left. And you're in eternity and you see that person and says, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you invited me, that you introduced me to Jesus. That's awesome. But we have to say yes. That's a great responsibility. If God has put it in your heart to pray for somebody, to minister to somebody, just do it. Just do it. Here's the thing. That Jesus even says, like, listen, if they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. You dust off your chancla, and you go talk to the next person I put in your heart. Make sense? Let's keep reading. Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. It says, fellow Israelites, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised on him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of death, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, who has poured out to what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to me, sit at the right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, children, and all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. Amen. Man, isn't that awesome? Number four, the Holy Spirit calls us to love without limits. That's the fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit calls us to love without limits. You know what's really awesome about that passage is that he's telling them, right? All the Jews are there, and Peter's reminding them of what happened to Jesus, and they were cut to the heart. We all have our Jesus moment, but we get cut to the heart, and the Holy Spirit is moving, and he's inviting, and we have to what? Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And what's amazing to me, it says that the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's us, right? That's an amazing promise. That he calls us into love without limits, that he invites us in, that he sacrifices it all. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you keep reading, you'll see that about 3,000 people were saved that day. And they didn't come, right? It wasn't just like a personal experience. It wasn't that the worship was awesome or the speaker was great. It was like the Holy Spirit was moving in people. And the Holy Spirit is still moving in people today. But we need to introduce them to the Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? So here's the deal. Right, you guys know I like to kind of use like object lessons. The Holy Spirit is like this. Once upon a time in your life, you're like a candle. You're just walking around, no light. Useless. What good is a candle? I guess maybe it's a paperweight. Right? It's decorative maybe? Okay, that's fair. Decorative, paperweight, still pretty useless because it's not doing what it's intended to do, right? And then God comes in and he says what? He starts to work at our heart. And sometimes, right, we try to do things on our own and we're like, oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good. And inside we're what? We're dead on the inside. We're dying on the inside. You guys have heard me say this. Who's my alter ego? Tupac Shakur. Right? On the outside, I look like a certain kind of way. We're going to work with my tie and I used to have hair. It was all cool, like John's. Used to have nice hair. But on the inside, I was dead. I had so much pride. I was so angry all the time. I was achieving all these things, and I felt like, what, man? This has to be more to life than this. And the Holy Spirit started working. Right? Somebody invited me, and then I started coming. And it's not because I was like, oh, there was something different because the Holy Spirit was drawing me back to Jesus. Amen? And guess what? He's drawing people back in your circle. Because you guys, I didn't read it, but it was in verse 8 where he says what? Then you will have power, and then you're going to go spread the good news, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and then Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? And so you're invited to be a part of that. Because there's people that you know that are walking around like a useless candle. That they don't know who Jesus is. And they're trying to fill it with all kinds of stuff. And it's all decorative and nice, but there's no life. No eternal life. Now the Holy Spirit will come in and he'll start to, there's a little spark. Little flame. All you got to, your job is to fan it. That flame is already in their heart, guys. I'm being honest with you. You don't save anybody. The Holy Spirit does the saving. But your job is to find where's that little flame. I need to speak to somebody. Somebody's hurting. Usually a good sign is when the people are, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, when there's some trauma going on, when people are hurting, you don't have to go very far for that. You don't have to, I always say, where are all the people who are hurting? Where are all the people who are heartbroken? I don't see them. They're in the cubicle next to you. They're in your family. You don't have to go that far. There's about 30 of them in your phone. Does that make sense? And it's your job just to be vigilant, to say, oh, okay, I see. Like I see Matthew right now. And so what's going on? The flame is still there. Your job is to lead them, right, to the one. His name is Jesus. And God does the saving. And then he sparks it and he sets it on fire, right? Our hearts are restless until we find God. Now this candle, right? If you take another candle and you put it to it, what's going to happen to that candle? It's going to get lit too, right? And so that's what God is inviting. Every one of us, this is like the Holy Spirit is live. There's a fire inside of us. And there's kindling. You know, you guys know what that means? I drive by a field on my way to work every single day, and it's all dead, all kinds of grass. And a part of me, the 10-year-old in me, wants to get a match and light on fire, see what happens. Right? The 10-year-old in me would want that. Don't do that, okay, kids? But God is saying, listen, you're like this candle, right? I put the Holy Spirit in you. There's power in you. Will you just go out and set the world on fire for me? The harvest is what? It's great. But the workers are few. And all we have to do is come alongside, right? And you know what it is? The funny thing is that this fire is lit up. Where does it live? The Spirit of God lives right here. You know what it means? It's hard to set people on fire when you're like, oh, over there, I'm gonna pray for you over there. I'm gonna do my fire, see if you catch it. That's not the way it works. You know how it works? You come alongside somebody. Put your arm around them. You give them a hug. You love them. You pray for them. God is a God of relationship. You can do some social media evangelism. Okay, I got you. But God is a God of relationship. Jesus showed up in person. He's inviting you to show up in person for somebody who desperately needs to be saved. Somebody who desperately needs our Lord and Savior. Because what? Somebody cared enough to invite you. Somebody prayed enough to pray for you. Right? To raise you up. If you were raised in the church, man, bless you. But if you weren't, or if you were raised in a different church and you never paid attention, like me, then you walked away, and then for a season of your life, you didn't believe that there was even a God, or you were reading the Bible to pick fights with believers. Somebody has to come alongside and say, come here. Let me tell you about my God. And somebody, that was my brother, right? I'll be quite honest with you guys. But came alongside and then sparked this candle within me. And I was like, man, thank you, Jesus, that you are so patient and so awesome. Thank you that you did come to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And so now it's our job, right? You guys know that song, This Little Light of Mine? I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's your job, right? Holy Spirit is inviting you to participate, right? Because Matthew tells us what? Let your light so shine, right? So that they may glorify your Father in heaven, right? It's not for us. It's not for C3. God gets the glory. He's inviting you to be a part of his mission. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, Lord God, that knows no boundaries. That, Lord God, you came. You didn't have to, but you did. You gave your life on the cross, Lord God, and we celebrated that resurrection 2 Sundays ago, Lord God. And then you came and you poured out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift that is with us, residing in us, we put our faith in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your goodness and your grace and all your mercy, Lord God. Father God, right now I just pray for our church body, Lord God. I pray, Lord, forgiveness of our sins. Corporately, Lord God, we know that we fail, Lord Jesus. There's things that are this week, and this week is a hard week. We were busy, things have happened, Lord God, but Lord Jesus, you've given us a new day. So Lord Jesus, pour out your mercy upon us, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. I pray right now, God, for our church to just be your hands and your feet, to be connected to you, to humble ourselves, Lord God, before you. Your word tells us, Lord God, that if we don't forgive other people, you won't forgive us, Lord. So, Father God, we humble ourselves before you right now. Will you forgive us, Lord God, of our sins? You forgive us, God, for our sins that we commit and even the sins of disobedience when you ask us to do something and we pretend like we don't hear. Forgive us, Lord God, for our times, Lord God, when we've fallen short, where we've been upset. We've acted out of anger, out of jealousy. We've acted out of just being impatient, God, whatever it is. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for restoration, Lord, for our church. I pray for relationships to be redeemed and restored, Lord God. I pray that you give us, Lord God, a spirit, Lord God, a heart that breaks for people who don't know who you are. That we can send them out and find them. That we love them enough to tell them the truth in a way that is loving. But it's about relationship. You are a God of relationship. Father God, help us, Lord God. We continue to pray for our family and friends that don't know who you are. Give us opportunities, Lord God, to invite. And we're going to keep praying, Lord Jesus. Nothing is more important than the decision that we make about who you are. Father God, I pray for healing, physical healing, Lord, of our church. I pray for bodies that are ailing, Lord God, people who have had surgeries, Lord God, this week. Lord God, heal us there, Lord. And Lord God, I just pray for our children. I pray that, Lord God, you would just be with the families, Lord God, of families that have had some horrific things happen this week. The young man in Reedley that got shot just Friday, Lord God, over senseless violence, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, we know this is a broken world, Lord Jesus, but we see it all around us, Lord. We pray for the teachers and the people who work in that office, Lord Jesus. I pray for that family for healing as well. Lord God, we live in a broken world, Lord God, but you came to give us hope. So you help us to restore it, Lord Jesus. Lord God, thank you for the gift that we have, Lord, that you love us, no boundaries, that there is no end, Lord, to your devotion, Lord, and how awesome you are, Lord God. That you invite us and to participate, to be in your hands and your feet, to share the good news of who you are, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, right now, thank you. Thank you for pouring upon us. Thank you for the gifts that you enable us, Lord God. Will you continue to move in our lives, Lord? Continue to draw us closer to you, Lord God. And sometimes we don't feel like it, but it's not a matter of feeling, Lord. It's just a matter of desire, Lord God. You put in us a desire, Lord God, for more of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to move. Continue to set our hearts on fire, Lord God. Help us to transform the world for your honor and for your glory, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.